Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for being here tonight, and another Live Prophetic Talk Show where we actually do it more than we talk about it, as always. Tonight is ministry night. We're going to be ministering to everybody that is called in, and get your hand up. When you call into the show, make sure and click on 1 when it says to you, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Click 1 on your phone, on your pad, phone pad right then. There's a part of your phone where you call in numbers. It'll say, 319-526. You get that number going on. It says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And then you click 1 on your phone. It puts you in the prayer queue where you've got your hand up, what we call having your hand up. And that way you're able to see you, and we can make sure and get you tonight and won't miss you. All right? And you won't have to spend a lot of time trying to get in and work your way through and trying to figure out why nobody's taking care of you. We're here to take care of you. That's for sure. All right, so good thing you're here with us tonight. We're glad you're here. We are downloading a whole other information realm about what's going on with America, what's going on with you. You need to be in on what's going on and understanding what's going on, because if you're not, you're gonna miss things. You're gonna miss what's going on. And so God wants you to make sure you get in on what's going on instead of missing what's going on, right? Yeah. So, all right. Okay, let's go here and get some of this stuff. All right. So we want to, last night we shared a little bit about a new campaign slogan for Jesus. Even though we don't really vote for Jesus, I think the church is going to be voting for Jesus in different ways. I think that the voting thing, even though it's not the way the kingdom of God is run, you don't vote in the kingdom of God. When Jesus is ruling, there's no voting. There's no voting. And so I think that the whole voting round is we're going to, little by little, kind of transition into the way Jesus runs his kingdom, and we can trust him, right? We can't trust anybody else. He has a heart for us. He, for goodness sakes, the man gave his life for us. I mean, how much more do you need to trust him than somebody who gave his life for you? And I mean, you can't beat that. You're going to vote for somebody like that? No, it's not even set up for you can, actually. But just kind of like trying to transition our thinking process so it's not just blatant, you know, you better change. And, you know, so I think it's kind of a progressive, slow, little by little understanding that when you preach the kingdom of God, you're preaching the kingdom of God the way the kingdom of God works, right? And you don't vote Jesus in. Jesus was not voted in. He was God in the flesh. The Father sent him without a vote. There was no voting, right? The angels didn't go, let's vote on that. We're going to miss Jesus. We're going to miss the word if he goes and becomes a human being. There was no voting. The Father just had a plan, and that's it. And he sent Jesus, and nobody voted for him when he got in there. In fact, everybody voted against him. I mean, most of the high-up people, the political people, most of the religious people didn't vote for him, all right? I guess he wasn't conservative or something. I don't know what he was. But they didn't vote for Jesus. They weren't voting for him. They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to not vote for him. They were trying to get people to not vote for Jesus or be on his side or want him. We're going to look at voting a little bit tonight, because I want to kind of little by little transition into the way the kingdom of God thinks. Because when it says preaching the kingdom of God, we're talking about the way, not democracy. Democracy is not the way the kingdom of God works. It's the best thing we have in the earth at this time. I love it. I'm thankful to be here. But I'm also thankful that God is showing me that we're entering into a season to where the church must rise up and receive the message of the Lord God, not the political message of the Republican prophets. Thank God for those wonderful people, but they're not transitioning. They're still hanging on to democracy. That's what they're hanging on to. And I don't guess maybe they don't see that Christ is that something's going on, that Joe Biden was a sign of something that they didn't know what was going on. They didn't get it. They still don't get it. And I don't think they're going to get it for a while. Some of them might get it, but for the most part, they're fighting it tooth and toenail. They're fighting the opposite of what God is saying, the opposite of what God is saying. It's not anti-Christ, but it's anti-now. It's anti what God is doing now. And so, you know, these are all beloved brothers and all that. But so we're trying to help people understand what is the kingdom message really about. You know, Christ came and died on the cross and brought us a new kingdom. He got us. We have a new covenant. We have a better covenant. We're no longer under the law. Christ fulfilled the law. And then when we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the law too, because we walk by love. And love always fulfills the law. But we're not under the law to try to fulfill it. We're under Christ. And under his love, and his love, we walk in love, and love fulfills the law. So it's not that the law's never been bad. It's a God thing. It's got to be. So, but the thing is, nobody could ever fulfill it. And so the beautiful thing is, now we have a kingdom that wasn't voted on by anybody. Now, in a sense, the everyday people voted for Jesus, in a sense that they voted for him, that they followed him wherever he went. That's kind of like voting, right? I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, we're voting for Jesus. All the scribes and Pharisees and all those other people, they haven't got any authority. When we listen to Jesus, we hear the voice of authority. That's what they all said about it. Nobody speaks like this man. They all said. And so they voted for him in a sense. They didn't really vote, but they were voting with their feet. They were following him. He fed them. He was their shepherd, man. I mean, he was a shepherd that they didn't even know what kind of a shepherd that he was going to give his life. That kind of shepherd is the shepherd that we all need, right? His name is Jesus Christ. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and now he sent the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit so that we can in turn take hold of the message and establish and prepare the way for the Lord in that democracy. Yes, thank God for it. But it is a lower level. It is not the kingdom of God message. So the only one that can be the head of that government is Jesus. But we as the church have a responsibility which God gave, and he said, preach the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God? Well, Christ came, died for us. We get born again. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're on our way to heaven. But heaven is trying to come to us, and we're trying to receive all the heaven we can. Walk in the glory, live in the glory, love Jesus, love people, heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever God said, prophesy. And so that's the kingdom of God. But when it comes to the government of God, the kingdom, you know, like the kingdom of David was the gut that was the government. When they talked about the kingdom, oh, David's kingdom, they thought they knew there was a government set up, right? The government of David, David's government, the government of God. That's what they called it, and it had rules and regulations and things that you did, and according to who the king was, how gracious he was and kind he was, is how the people loved and responded to his laws and his rules, right? Because David was a good shepherd also. He had his troubles, he had his issues, he had some problems, you know, but he had a heart after God, because he even taught people how to get right with God when you really, really mess up, and that's beautiful. All right, so I'm trying to move right into this because I want you, it's 911 right now, so get ready for a 911 message. 911 Texas 9. All right, so would anybody have voted for you? I don't know. Some of you people are pretty cool. I was not that cool, actually. I don't think people would have voted for me to be in the ministry. Most people didn't vote for me to be in the ministry. Most people didn't think that, you know, I was had it in me. I couldn't speak. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't preach. I couldn't stand in front of people and talk, so how can I be chosen? I mean, he's going to vote for somebody who can't do that, right, to be in the ministry, to talk to people and share with people. And it, literally, that was myself. I was full of fear, and I was very inadequate, and had a lot of shame and guilt in my life. And I'm just lost. I was a lost sheep. That was what I was. I was lost. And he came along and he saved me and he brought me into his kingdom. And, you know, I found out that you don't vote for doing God's way and everybody votes for it. We want to do it God's way or our way. When you vote to do it your way, you mess up. When you vote to do it God's way, you get blessed up. You get blessed. That's what you get. Because the kingdom of God and the government of God is how things were created to be governed in the very beginning. It is the original of God. The origin of God, the original of God, was that the way that we are now shifting over from democracy to theocracy, really, where Christ is ruling and where Christ is doing it, where there's no voting, nobody going on. The man who gave his life for the whole world, who needs to vote for him? I mean, we're just going to, he's just the man. He is the man because he is the man because God chose him. So we're going to move from voting to choosing. So God chose me to do what he's called me to do. That's why I'm doing it. That's the only way I can do it. That's the only way I'm enabled to do what I'm doing, because God enables me. Other than that, I would be worthless to him. Oh, I could do some athletic things, you know, I could do some stuff like that, but much of anything else, I could do some construction work maybe. In some ways, I can do pretty good. But really, you know, nobody would have chosen me for this because they saw my inabilities and would have voted for me to, no, you need to stay with your construction job and work that, because you're not a speaker, you can't talk, you don't know how to communicate with people, so forget that. But you know what? It didn't matter, because when God chooses, just like he chose Jesus, when he chose the Word to send the Word to the earth, he chose that. And when God chooses something, friend, that's the way it's going to be. That when God chooses something, that's the way it's going to be. You can't vote it out. You can't have a half a million people agreeing against the will of God, though it may seem something good to what you want, like we had with the Trump election. We had you know, I don't know how many millions of people were in agreement that we're standing in agreement for Donald Trump and what that other guy's doing, Randy Shannon, what that other guy's saying, that's wrong, and we're going to come against you. And we're going to, we have millions of people, and all you got is just you. You don't even really have any people who really believe in what you're saying. I mean, it's just crazy. And we're all against that. And but you know what? When God speaks something, it doesn't matter how many millions of people vote against what God said. When God says, I'm going to put Joseph Biden in as president, that's what he does. The voting doesn't matter. But the church has decided that, and the prophets have decided that we can just vote on this. Well, I vote. I think Kim Commit's word. I think so and so's word. So and so's word. All these words. So we're going to vote on that. Yeah, we're going to prophesy that stuff. We're going to do our prophesying by voting. Yeah, we think that's right. That's the best thing for America. And so that's what we're going to do. We have America on our mind. It's make America great again. That's Donald Trump's campaign slogan, and he did a great job of doing it, and we want it again. But God says, you know, and I'm going to explain to you a little more why tonight it didn't happen. And God says, well, that's not what the word of the Lord is. That's not what the word of the, not the word of the devil, not the word of the flesh, the word of the Lord. So it doesn't matter whether you have millions and millions and millions of people voting or coming in agreement, and we're all in agreement here, and we know you can't win because you just got you and maybe a couple of others, and we got all these millions. Friend, you don't vote when the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord, period. It doesn't matter what you're voting on. It don't matter what you got 15 million people agreeing on something. It doesn't matter. When the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord, 15 million people's word is going to fumble. It's going to fall to the ground. It's going to be worthless. Why? Because we don't vote in God's kingdom. But the church has got this voting mentality. We got a business mentality. We're going to run it like a business, and we're going to vote on what we think needs to be done right. Wrong. All of that's wrong. It's wrong for our country. It's been a great thing. Thank God. But get ready to kiss it goodbye. Yes, oh, the devil's going to use Donald Trump to do away with democracy. Our way of life is, yes, you know what? Because God is choosing him to do that. Well, how can that be? We need democracy. We need to make Trump great again. Well, that's not what God, that's not what the word of the Lord is. The word of the Lord is make the earth great again. Make the earth glorious again. That's the vision that God wants America to take on. If they don't take that on, they're going to end up going down. They're not just going to be a third world country. They're going to be a lower, they're going to be in the lower realms of the third world country. And we can either be the greatest third world country. I think that's what I'm dreaming for. I don't know. I don't have a word from God on it. But I don't see us being some lower level third world country when we enter into that. We can be the greatest third world country in the world. Just put it to you like that. We can do that. I'm believing for that. It doesn't mean we're going to hell in a handbasket right away. And it's really up to us. And if America keeps choosing to resist the word of the Lord and decide they're going to vote in what they think, we're going to vote in Donald Trump. We don't want Jesus to come back. We don't want that. We love you, Jesus. We love, but Donald Trump. Well, I voted for Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. To this day, I still love him. I love to watch him get down there and talk bad about those people. I just love it. I still love it. But you know what? My opinion, my vote didn't count. I voted against the word of the Lord at first, too. I'm going, God, that just doesn't make any sense. No way. And I kept hearing the voice of God saying, Joseph Biden, against my will, against my vote. Because you know what? In the kingdom of God, friend, you don't get a vote. Neither do I. I don't get a vote. You don't get a vote. The prophets don't speak on what we vote on. We don't vote about this. Oh, let's all get together. Brother Chandler and a couple of his friends, they got only two or three of them. We got millions. Let's just vote and come in agreement, and we're going to win this thing. Not. And it wasn't because Randy and his few were so powerful and wonderful. It's not about that, friend. It's not. God chooses to use a few because he's going to show you that it doesn't matter what you're voting about. It doesn't matter how many agreements, how many millions and millions and millions and millions of people you got agreeing on something. If it's not the word of the Lord, your vote goes down the tubes. And God's using Joe Biden to transition America to a better place, even though it's not the better place like what we have been used to. We're comparing democracy with whatever he's going to do. Doesn't look all that great to me. But you know what? When you see with the eyes of God what God is doing, that God is saying, I'm changing because we're going to move into and prepare for the Lord Jesus coming back. But you haven't got one prophet preparing for Jesus to come back. No, they're preparing for Donald Trump to come back and democracy. And God says, it's over. And I'm using Joseph Biden to transition. You can call it the devil. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But God is involved in it just like he was with Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar came in by the will of the Father, even though he prophesied through the prophet many, 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 many times, Jeremiah, stop doing what you're doing. Give the land a rest. Blah, 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 quit sinning. Quit doing anything. Years and years, they didn't listen. And then it was just too late. It didn't matter anymore. God already said, Neb, go get him, Neb. And then Neb went and got him. And in three phases, he took him down. Didn't matter how many an agreement in Israel. We're not going to agree with this. Oh, no, we're not going to agree with this. Oh, and Jesus, let's all grab hands and believe God. We've been doing our own thing for however many years. But let's just agree together today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahweh, that this ain't going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar can't have it. But God already voted for it, and it's going to be done because God said, when God says it, that's it, friend. It don't matter what you and I think about it. And you got to get used to that. You're not going to like the way Jesus is going to do things. The church today would throw Jesus out. Oh, we didn't vote for you. We didn't vote for you. Who are you? We didn't vote for that word. Jesus, you can't come over here and tell us that they're going to tear our temples down. You know what that sounds like? You people out there that are saying that sound like the people that crucified Christ. And you'll do it again, I know. And God is separating him out of people that are going to hear the voice of God. And there's not going to be any voting, friend. Forget the voting thing. Yeah, I'll vote when whoever runs for president and the city hall and all that in your house. I'm not saying don't vote for all that. Vote for us. Keep voting. God's even like saying, I want the church to start voting, but I want you – just keep on voting, but I want you to start understanding that I want you to vote for me, saith the Lord. Yeah, just start thinking in your mind, okay, since we can vote now, let's just vote for Jesus. And forget everybody else to run the world, to run the country. Because God's not trying to make America great again, friend. I'm sorry to tell you that, because I know in your fear and all the fear-mongering that's going on, you're like, oh, God, what if America's not great again? That means I'm not going to prosper. That means I'm not going to have any money. That means that I'm going to suffer. That means that things are not going to go well. Oh, my God, we're going to be like a third-world country, and all America is going to go to hell in a handbasket. If America doesn't receive this message, they will. They will be the greatest third-world country in the world. They're going to be the least. You know why? Because they're resisting what God is saying. God is saying, forget trying to make America great again and start humbling yourself like John the Baptist did and say, he must become greater and I must become lesser. But no, well, we want to be greater. God says, I'm changing the tone. It's the Lord changing the tone, friend, not Randy, not me. We got proof that we're flowing with what God is saying because what we're saying is what's happening. That's proof enough. But you know what? But people don't want to hear it, just like in the days of Jesus when they crucified Christ. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And they don't want to hear what I have to say either. I guarantee you that. But you know what? There's people coming all the time. All the time going, well, what's that message, that guy? What's that? They're trying to hide me. Oh, they're trying to hide us. They are trying to hide you and me. That's for sure. But you know what? The more they try to hide us, the more God speaks, and the more the power of God flows, and the more he opens up doors, and the more he gets his way, and the more he shows up. And, friend, that's the way I love it. You have to understand the ways of God, friend. If you don't understand the ways of God, you're going to miss out on what God's doing. I will, you will, we all will. Yeah. I want you to picture this. One of the reasons that God didn't allow Donald Trump to save America and make America great again in a second term was because I want you to open up your heart and your mind. To the scripture, not Randy Chandler, to the scripture. God Almighty is so jealous over Israel. Why do you think he's going to allow every nation around them to turn against them? Why do you think it's in the Bible? It's in the Word of God. It's not something I'm coming up with. The Bible says they're going to be surrounded. Israel is going to be surrounded. Why would God allow that? That's not God. Why would God let us be surrounded with our enemies? Well, I don't know. Maybe so he can show off his glory. Maybe so he can be the only one who saves them. Oh, maybe that might be it. Might think about that a little bit. Make sure and drink your water. I want you to think about this for a minute, if you would. Think about this. God's allowing them, Israel, his chosen people, that our Messiah came through. We love you, Israel. We bless Israel. We speak blessings over Israel. And we thank you, Jesus, for choosing Israel and that land and that place. Friend, the reason God is allowing Israel, his chosen place, that the whole world fights over all the time, little bitty place, whole world fighting over it, whole world hates it, most of the world hates it. You know why? You know why God's going to allow it? Because he's going to show the world that he's going to save Israel without anybody's help. They're going to be totally helpless. Read the scriptures. They're going to be totally helpless. They're going to be crying out to God. God, the Armageddon, the armies are coming now. They're attacking us. They're attacking us. Oh, God, they're attacking us. We don't have a chance. We're going down. We're all going to die. And part of Israel starts being taken over. It's not looking good. And God set the whole thing up, friend. You know why? Because sometimes it takes that kind of thing to break a people who are chosen people, to break away from their tradition and their falsehoods and their lies and start believing in the Messiah who gave his life for them, the true shepherd that the enemy has robbed them from all these years. That they've not known their own shepherd who loves them dearly. But friend, let me tell you something. Nobody's going to save America. Nobody's going to save Israel but Jesus. Donald Trump, it bless his heart for doing it, man, because we're supposed to bless Israel. He was blessing Israel. But there was something else going on. Donald Trump was wanting to save Israel. Well, shouldn't we bless Israel, Randy? Yeah, there's a difference between blessing Israel and loving Israel and trying to save Israel. There's some things that you don't step on with God, and one of them is You don't try to save something that only he wants to save, and he wants to show the world, whole world, that he and only he is going to save it. He ain't going to let nobody else save it. Not you, not me, not America, not anybody. Nobody's going to do it. Nobody. And when Trump stepped in there and did those wonderful things with Israel and making it the capital, making Jerusalem the capital of Israel, oh, my God, it was amazing. But the process was going and moving toward, yeah, Donald Trump says, I'm going to save Israel. And everybody's saying, I think Donald Trump's going to be our, you know, you read the news. Did you see it? If you didn't see it, you need to look it up. Yeah, Donald Trump, man, he's going to be our man. And it was a great thing. It was an awesome thing that they were believing that somebody, that America president was actually literally doing something he said he would do. It's a beautiful thing. But the problem is, friend, that we've got to realize where to draw the line. When you start moving in beyond blessing Israel and loving Israel and taking care of their poor and their needy and helping them financially, something, but when it comes to Armageddon, God is not going to let America show up, save Israel. Just imagine this. What does the scripture say? What does the Bible say? What does the word of God say about how all that's going to end? Basically, Armageddon's going to be going on. Israel's going to be crying out. They don't have the military. They don't have the thing. Nobody's helping them. Nobody's really helping them. Even though they may want to or may try, that they can be blessing Israel, but nobody's able to save them from what's about to happen and the disaster that's about to take them down. And God, listen to me. You have to understand this. You're going to miss the whole thing. God has set this thing up for one purpose and one purpose only, not Donald Trump. Not America, not Randy Chandler, not you, not anybody is going to save his baby, his girlfriend, his lover, his woman, his son, his whatever you want to call her. And anybody who tries to move in and save it and then take credit for it, Donald Trump is a big credit taker. And he needs to be given credit for the things he's done. But God is not going to let anybody who move in there and get close to saving Israel and then taking credit for it, even though they would definitely deserve it if that happened. But God Almighty is reserving the credit and the glory for him and him alone. And if you step on that, if you don't understand that about God and you go in beyond blessing Israel and loving Israel and sending, taking care of people and you know, sending food and money and things to take care of, but when you move in to try to go in when Armageddon's going in, and all of a sudden, the scripture, what does the scripture say? The scripture says Armageddon's going on, the clouds are filling up the sky, and all of a sudden, who breaks through the clouds? Who breaks through the clouds? Is it the U.S. Air Force coming in with their bombers going boom, 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 killing all the Armageddon people? Killing all the Muslim people that are killing all the Armageddon kings and all the gathering of the kings? Is it the military of the USA and the Air Force of the USA breaking through the clouds, and all of a sudden Israel looks up and goes, oh, boy, we've got the USA. They're coming to save us. They're coming to save us. The USA is coming to save us. Is that what the scripture says? Is it the USA? I don't think you spelled Jesus with the USA. It's J-E-S-U-S. Yeah, the U.S. is in Jesus, but it has nothing to do with the U.S. Yes, we bless Israel. Yes, but when you step across that line and you decide you're going to save Israel and you're going to stand over and you're going to go over there and you're going to win that battle for them, let me tell you something, friend. God Almighty is going to make sure that not you, not anybody is going to be able to do that, not even America. So God is not going to let America become great again, because America being great again, wanting to go there and take care of Israel and save Israel and take its military and its armed forces and all of its air force with all of its great bombers and everything that it has is airplanes and going through there and breaking through the clouds. No, nobody's going to be breaking through the clouds, friend, but Jesus. And Jesus is going to slay those enemies with the word of his mouth, not with the military of the USA. And so if you don't understand the time and the seasons that we're in and know what's going on, which obviously most of these prophets don't understand the times and the seasons, because if they did, they wouldn't be talking like that. That's a bunch of nonsense. Make America great again. We're all focused on that. No, John the Baptist says, I must become lesser and weaker, and he must become greater and stronger. Israel needs to become greater and stronger. That God wants to make sure, yes, he's going to allow the nations. Just get ready. We don't have to deliver. We don't have to hate Israel. We're not cursing Israel. We're not hating. We don't hate Israel. We love Israel. We support it. We're praying for it. We're blessing Israel. We're believing God. Lots of people all over the world love Israel. But friend, when you move beyond loving and blessing Israel, and you start trying to take over what God's going to do, God's going to make sure that your airplanes get about halfway there and they fall out of the sky, which doesn't need to happen, because that wouldn't be good for the families of the pilots and all the people they're carrying. Yeah, God will make sure that when those U.S. airplanes, those warplanes are on their way over there to bomb the Armageddon bad boys and the kings, that those airplanes fall out of the sky. He ain't going to let them go in there. And if you don't understand that, friend, you're going to miss out on what God is doing and what God is saying and the purposes of God. And if you don't understand the purposes of God, you're going to miss the whole shebang. You're going to be over there going, make America great again, make America great again, make America great again. Yeah. Just like that. God is trying to explain to you and to me what is going on. That's what he's doing. And the person that's going to suddenly appear in the clouds is not going to be anybody but Jesus and his saints who are coming back. It's one thing to bless Israel. It's another thing to try to save Israel. Donald Trump is wanting to save Israel. It looks real good. It looks real holy and wonderful, and God bless him, and I'm glad he loves Israel. But, friend, you know what? That's not it. That's not what's going on. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word of God says. And when the Word of God says something different than what we believe, we need to get on the Word of God's side and realize that the timing and the purposes of God are what is going on, not what we decide we think is best for our country and what's good for our country. You know, God is not going to allow us to hinder his will and his purposes. And if you start doing that, he will take you down, just like he'll take down Germany, just like he'll take down anybody else. He'll take down anybody who tries to take on a position that is not theirs to take down. So how do we bless Israel without provoking the jealousy of God? How do we bless Israel without provoking the jealousy of God and cause a jealous intervention of God to bring us down? You hear what I'm saying? How do we bless Israel without provoking the jealousy of God and cause a jealous intervention of God to bring us down so that the U.S. will not be tempted to be doing that? Yeah, like economic, taking us down, like however God has to. We must find the middle ground on how to walk with God and know that we can bless Israel and take care of Israel without trying to take God's job and provoke jealousy from God and try to save Israel, because that's what he's going to do. God's going to do that. Not you and me. Not the USA. We're not going to have a little button on our thing. We save Israel. No, it ain't going to happen. You can say we bless Israel, we help take care of Israel, but you can't save Israel, friend. God's not going to let any nation save Israel. It's not going to happen. Okay? So once you get a hold of that, once you start understanding that, once you start seeing that, once you start walking in that information, it's going to change the way you think of everything. We need to help feed them, nurture them, preach the gospel, love them, share Jesus with them, provide for them, but no more. We are not, our job is not to save Israel. Read your Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the USA is going to save Israel. It's not going to happen. So when you understand that and you know how to draw the line according to the Word of God, draw the lines according to the Word of God and according to the times and the seasons that we're in and the purpose. If you don't understand, that's what real prophets do, is they prophesy the purposes of God and the timing of God. Over and over and over again, that's what we do. That's what our job is. And if you're not doing that, then you're going to misguide people. You're going to cause people to be looking the wrong way, spending all their time praying about the wrong thing and not being prepared, nor are we preparing the world for what's really going on. Instead, we're preparing people for making America great again. That's what we're preparing the whole world for. The whole world wants to be – this is an example of, oh, America is just going to be the greatest thing in the world. Let's just be a good example. No, no, that's not going to happen anymore. God's taken his hand off of that. He loves America. And if America will jump in there and start taking on the heart of God and realizing what's going on and do what God's doing and do what the prophet is saying, what the prophets are saying from the Lord Jesus, and stop merchandising and start doing what God says in line with not provoking God's jealousy to try to take the credit for saving Israel, that's what Trump's going to do. He's going to try to take credit for saving Israel. That's what he wants to do. You know, I mean, it looks good. It sounds good. And from his perspective, I can see what he's thinking. He's thinking, man, that's what we need to be doing is helping Israel. That's where Jesus came from. But that dude does not understand the kingdom of God. He doesn't understand the message of the Holy Spirit. He's got his own message going on. And it's a great one for America, but it's not the right one for the world. If he ran again, I'd vote for him again. I will not vote for Joseph Biden or whoever is on their team. I will not vote for them unless they change their whole everything. If Donald Trump ran, I would vote for him for conscience sake, even though I know he's not going to win. Friend, we got to start seeing through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And the sooner we do that, the sooner we're going to walk in line with God, and we're going to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God is doing what? Finding out what his purpose is, what the timing is that we're in. Timing is everything. If you're living back in the 2019, when Trump was running for president, when he was doing such a great job, if you're still living back then and you're not living in the now, which most of those prophets didn't see what was coming now. They didn't see it. None of them saw it. None of them saw it, friend. They can prophesy and speak a lot of great things, and it's wonderful. But you know what? We've moved into a new season, and they didn't see it. Sorry to say it. They didn't see it. Therefore, they missed it, and it was totally messed up. Totally messed up. All right? So there you go. Okay, so we are enjoying our moment together here tonight. Thank you for being with us, and we are so glad that you're here. And we want to pray for you and believe God with you. We want to minister to you tonight. So if you've gotten in tonight, really good. We're going to be praying for you here in just a little bit. We're going to be believing God with you to open up a new season in your life, to help you realize that what God is calling you and me to do, that it's going to happen. And God's going to provide the way, whether anybody – I don't need your vote, you know. I mean, I hope you vote for me, but I don't need it. You know, I've been chosen by God just like you've been chosen by God. And once you're chosen by God, friend, you don't need anybody's vote. Quit trying to get people's vote. Quit trying to suck up the people and get everybody to like you. Just stop it. Love people. Do what God says and forget about them voting for you, because when you've been chosen by God, that's all you need is to be chosen by God. Period. That's it. Done. Finish. Kapooch. Over with. All right? All right. Awesome. Okay, well, let's take callers tonight, and we're going to be praying for you guys a little bit, so let's believe God to do that. And I get a little loud. I get a little excited, so just turn your speakers down or something. When I start prophesying and preaching, I do get excited. There's no doubt about it. And I get loud sometimes too, so, hey, just turn it down a little bit and try to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and it's going to be absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. All right, so let's take our callers tonight and see what's up. Okay, let's go here. All right, 585 is going to be my first caller tonight. And then 754 will be second. 325 will be third. And then 972 after that, and then 610 after that. 202 after that. Okay. And then 912 after that. So if you're in line right now, let's make sure we get this. Okay, let's go do this thing. Hang on a second. Pachuca, my baby. All right, let's go here and do this thing. Give me a second. I'm getting everything together here. Okay. All right. You're in the flow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And then there's some more calls. Hang on a second. Let me get back here. Okay. Then we have 912. I said that already. Then we have 920 after that. 920. Then 803, and then 478, and then 402, and then 863, 268, and then we have 903, again 903, and 8, and then we have 847. 915, 847 after that, and that's my last caller with their hand up right now. All right, so let's take those calls right now. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone here. We're going to go from one caller to the next, and no talking tonight. All right, 585-436, am I talking to you, where you're from, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous.
Hi, Anonymous. Okay, all right, Anonymous. All right. All right, Anonymous, thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. I just see the spirit of forgiveness being released and God just releasing, immeasurable amounts of forgiveness for some reason, maybe just for people to be forgiven of things of all kinds of levels, all levels of forgiveness. I see just an overpowering realm of forgiveness being released, maybe through you, maybe forgiving people that, you haven't been able to forgive yet, or maybe you've already forgiven them, and it's about God forgiving people that have done things, in the law realm, or done things that have gotten them in trouble, or forgiveness for debt, for financial things. But the spirit of, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so that release of debt from, and forgiveness can reach far and wide in many different areas. And so when that begins to happen, that really opens up the level of, cleansing and washing and purity and making things, people making things right and things getting straightened out and people being able to, forgive people that they haven't, they want to forgive them, but they can't because they just can't do it. So I see the Spirit of God releasing that extra measure of forgiveness around you. And maybe that's the prayer God wants you to pray, is about forgiveness. To release forgiveness into people's heart where they can forgive people who they've hated or they've had real issues with, maybe loved ones or friends or whoever it is. And because forgiveness just ties you up in knots and brings curses on you, actually. We curse ourselves with our own unforgiveness, right? Yeah. We go to heaven, but we curse ourselves in the earth. And so we need to pray that over our loved ones or our friends that they will forgive and be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. 754-240, can I talk to you right now, please? It's Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya tonight. God, I thank you for Donald. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of the new, the spirit of the new. And like, his mercies are new every morning. Behold, all things are made new. This whole thing about new, everything being made new. Sometimes God creates new things inside of us. There's a new thing, like he renews our mind. Our mind gets renewed. and we have all this renewal, but yet on the outside it seems like it's the same old, same old. But what God does is, as we let him renew us, or, you know, bring us into the new realm of things being made new, because in God, things don't get old. Eternity, in eternity, things don't get old. So the realm of eternity, or the Spirit of God, is, you know, that very thing. And so things don't get old. They stay new. And so God, so because we live in a corruptible body which is dying every day, and one day if Christ does not come back, we'll, you know, die and go be with him. But at the same time, there's the realm of the Spirit that we learn to live in, so things become new. So your thinking starts becoming new. A lot of things start becoming new on the inside. That's the way God does it first. And then he makes things new on the outside, because then you're ready for it. If you're new on the inside first and then the new develops and breaks loose on the outside, then you just kind of fit right in instead of like, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. And you walk around it, you know, and they're like going, I don't know if I can handle this. This is too much new stuff at one time. But if you're new on the inside, then the new on the outside is a lot easier to comprehend the purpose of it and the beauty of it and the glory of it, to where it does not trip you up. And that's true prosperity. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So when your soul prospers, what that it means, your mind is being renewed and made new every day. It can be every day. And so then the new kicks in the exterior, because God says, now you're ready for it. Now you can handle it. Now you're going to do it. And that's for both of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 325-280. I'm going to talk to you where you're from.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, my brother. Good to have you tonight. All right, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. For Chris, God, I thank you for that area in his life, God, where he is, you know, learning to value the right things. And our whole hearing from God is what's really important, what's really valuable. And sometimes we think, oh, it's just human beings are the only things that are truly valuable. That's not true. That is not true at all. Because, you know, if human beings are the only one that are of value, then why did God create the earth for us? So the things that he gives us, even though human beings are the highest level of value, because when you look in the Garden of Eden, when you look in God's creation, Chris, you see that God made everything, the trees, the ground, the trees, the fruit trees, everything in it, and the herbs and the animals and all the things he made, the mountains and the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and the beauty of all the everything in the earth is amazing. And then he gives his prized, most valuable possession, not the only valuable, the most valuable possession, which was a human being. He gave him dominion over that. So when God's really wanting to open you up to how to value things, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and then your neighbor as yourself. So there's the way to God showing you what value is, so that when you value something, you're not laying treasures up on the earth, but you're laying treasures up in heaven. In other words, that what you treasure in your heart now in the earth is what God or the heavenly Father, the heavenly realm, says is valuable. And so you put things in order. You know, we value, other than we put God first, of course, but then people, love the Lord thy God, and thy neighbor as thyself. Those are, you know, lower levels of value. We don't value people first. We value God first, right? We seek God first. We love God first. And the reason we can love people is because he first loved us. Therefore, he gives us love to love them with. So we start seeing when God puts in order the value of what he values, then as we do that, then it changes the way that we do everything. It changes the way God can bless us, because we put in order. We know that God is first. People are second. My neighbor and myself are second, basically, and my family, you know, which includes your family. And then everything else that God gives, like when God gave the earth to Adam, he said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree, Adam and Eve. That's the only tree. The only thing you can't do is eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. So what did Adam do? He valued all the other 99% of things, other 99% of things he could do, but that one thing, he didn't value God's word on that. And the value he put on that, well, he didn't value it at all because he ended up eating of it, which, you know, when God tells you not to eat of something, you learn to value that word. And that word, when you value that and treasure that word keeps you from eating the wrong things, going the wrong direction. So as God begins to put that in order in you, he begins to show you that. It's really basically simple, but putting it actually in order in our lives every day is something that we're all working on doing. And the sooner that we, as we approach becoming better and better at that, the more God's going to prosper us and be able to give you things. Because when it says when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he adds things to you. So he's not saying things are not important. Oh, forget the thing thing. Forget the thing thing. The thing thing, that's not the thing thing. That's nothing to the thing thing. Thing things are not important. No, they're extremely important. God made them. So he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the other things that he, listen to how God values it. He values it so much that he adds it to you. And when God adds it to you, friend, that means he values it because he made it for you. When God made all the things that they could eat, all the things they could do, were extremely valuable. They were valuable in the sense that they were there to produce the ground he owned, or the ground that the trees that were in produced fruit, and the ground produced herbs so they could eat. So it was very valuable because they would have died had they not had the food and the produce and the animals and all the things that they had going on. All that stuff was extremely valuable. But people say, oh, things are not important. So they totally misjudged the word of God, saying things are not important. But they are important. And when we seek God first, those things that God wants to give us, like he gave Israel, the land of Israel, to God's people. And when he gave the land of Israel to God's people, you know what that was? That was extremely valuable to him. And Jesus Christ came and died on that property, died on that land. That land, that property, is the center of the earth, and it's very important, very valuable, highly treasured by God, and the whole world's fighting over it. So you see what I'm saying? So it's just that things aren't valuable. They are. When we put them in the right order that God tells us to, God prospers you because you're seeking first the kingdom, and the way he values things, the way he treasures things, God first, you know, us and people second, and our families, and then the things that come, God brings them to you because he knows they're valuable for you to live and do his thing. It's part of his blessing. It's part of what he gives you. It's part of what he hands you. It's part of what is yours. So when we value it correctly and do what he says to do with it, like he said, don't touch that tree. When they ate of that tree, when they did that, you know what they did? They devalued it, and therefore it destroyed them. If they would have valued that word, knowing that they valued that tree, they valued the tree knowing that this is a special tree. We don't touch this tree, right? Everything else we can touch. Everything else we can do, but we can't do that. So when they valued the right thing, all the right things, including the tree that had they weren't supposed to eat of, God said, don't touch that, so it must be really special. So the specialness of it drew them to eat of it. Eve got really curious, saying, man, I'm going to eat of that because it's got to be really special. Because she ended up, her and Adam ended up not valuing it for what it was because God said, don't touch it. When they devalued it, they ate of it. See, so God's showing. So all the things are important, and God's going to put that in perspective so that he can keep adding to you because God wants to add to you. And as long as we keep things in order, he keeps adding those things to us. All right, 972-695. Who want to talk to you from, please?
It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for the place of authority, God. Like I see God giving you a badge of authority. It's not just necessarily a natural badge, but it's a badge of authority. Hang on a second here. The badge of authority that God's given you, it's like when a police officer or detective or somebody gets their badge, it's a badge of authority so that whenever they go somewhere, you know, they can't get into special places because you have to have a badge. You have to be an authority figure to get into those certain places, like on a crime scene. You know, you see them all the time. You know, they walk up and they go, who are you? That you show them your badge, you know, your billfold, you know, whatever you think, your card, your thing. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, come on in here. And so I see God giving you entrance into places and things that you haven't normally don't get entrance to, like a common everyday person who may know a lot about, you know, criminal activity can't get in beyond those the tape that the police put up there because they, oh, I know a lot about crime scenes. Where's your badge at? Oh, you don't have a badge? No, but I can tell you, you need to, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't listen to you. You have no badge of authority. So God, sometimes he teaches us, we learn, and then he gives us a badge of authority that really is true authority from God so that we can get into places like crime scenes, like get into people's hearts, get into people's lives, get into places in the kingdom of God, like the priest, like, you know, like the high priest was the only one that could go into, you know, the Holy of Holies. He was the only one that can go in that place. And so God had to give him, you know, he had to be approved of and necessarily, you know, approved of had the badge of authority to go in there. And it was a very holy thing because if he didn't do the right things, he would die, right? And he was there to finish the job of things, and he had to have a badge of authority to go in. Not just any priest could go in there. It had to be the high priest. And so, you know, so there's certain things that there's different levels of badges. Like you can have a badge to be a detective and though you go to school to be a detective and you get your badge on graduation day, you take that badge and you learn how to use it. You learn how to, some people are really better at doing things than other people are. And you have three people that have a badge of authority and one person will excel in it because they've learned how to, you know, they learned how to walk in line with the rules and the laws. They have a heart and a passion and a wisdom for things. And so that's what I see God really doing is showing you, training you at the next level. Or now that God's given you like a badge of authority and a whole other level in your life, that's going to get you entrance into things that you've not had entrance into before. And it's not just entrance into meetings and spiritual places and, you know, she has a badge of authority to get into this high level of, you know, we're going to have a big meeting with all the big dogs. And she is the big dog badge. You know, it's not just that. That's part of it because it gives you entrance into things because God knows you have an influence. You're an influencer, and so God's gonna that badge of authority. You learn how to use the influence of that badge for good and not just for yourself to build your own little detective thing or whatever. But you're doing it for the good of the people. You're doing it for the good of the country. You're doing it for the good of God. And because your motive and intentions are correct, one out of the three people have all three have badges. The one who learns how to do it with good intentions and pure heart and the right motive, that person gets, you know, invited up to the higher levels. And so, but God teaches us; He's teaching you how to use your badge of authority that He's given you to excel in that, because there's always a higher place to go. Like a lot of the priests, you know, they have different, they wore different garments, and every different garment represented the level of authority that they walked in and the level of honor that they got. So God's really going to work with you in that and show you that stuff. Yeah, amen. So, Terrence, we thank you, Lord, for Terrence. Lord, I thank you, Father, for Terrence. I see, like, a holy siren going off inside of him, inside of Terrence. I see, like, you know, there's a lot of false alarms that go on. I mean, I've done building stuff, you know, for a long time, and they've had false alarms go on. And so there's a lot of false alarms that go on. But God teaching you, Terrence, how to know the difference between a false alarm and a real alarm. And when God's really alarming you, you really are alarmed. You know, you get awakened to that, and you go, oh, my God, there's something going on right now. And it's dangerous, and it's serious. And if we don't change it soon, it's going to cause problems, you know, that kind of thing. And that spirit of being being able to be alerted and alarmed by the Holy Spirit to know that there's fire in the house or there's something going on, and learning how to, you know, deal with those situations when there's actually a real problem going on. There's a lot of false alarms. A lot of people come in. They make false. They lie about people. Oh, so-and-so, and you know, the that business, you know, there are a bunch of crooks over there, and they lie about them, and they a lie is a false alarm. So when there's false alarms and lies going on, you're being able to detect a false alarm or a lie. If somebody's trying to alarm somebody, you know, that company, they do bad business, they're evil, they're bad, they're just taking people's money, and you being able to discern, you know, where they truly are evil or not, or if it's just a false alarm or a lie going on. Because we've all been lied about to certain degrees, and I see God really using that thing about being lied about and others lying about other people to be able to discern, like, okay, you know, there's something wrong with this. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is right now, but God's going to—he's connecting you with the ability to discern that the motive behind the lie. There's some people lie to protect other people, you know, and that's not the alarm on that is different than somebody who's lying to try to take somebody down. So some people, you know, like in the days of when Germany was persecuting the Jews, some German people would hide the Jews in their houses when the authorities came and said, you got any Jews in there? And they go, no. They were lying. But what were they lying for? They were protecting life, right? Right? So but there's no kind of lies. So the alarm with that is like a good alarm. Like, okay, they're doing something good here. It's an alarm. There's something going on. They're lying, but they're doing it for a good reason. Then other people lie and deceive to destroy and take down. And so being able to detect that and walk in that and understand that is real important to be, you know, a person called to be a judge in a sense of what's right and what's wrong. That's what judges do. They judge what's right and what's wrong. So, amen. God bless you guys on that. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to, Rick Frimpley?
Shalom, shalom. It's Lisa from PA. Prophet Randy, last night when you were talking to Nikki from Florida, I just wanted to remind you that you're not a patriot, you're a prophet. Remember that?
Yeah, that's good. Right. All right, I agree. All right, yeah. Because we were talking about that last night. Thank you, Lisa, for saying that. We were talking about that. We talked for Nikki a long time last night. I don't know what was going on with all that, but you never know. Sometimes I've talked to a lot of people a long time because each person draws a certain thing out and we go a certain place. And I just love it. It's really exciting. And if you listen close to it, and catch the spirit of the moment, you can, you know, you might catch something new. And so people say, oh, I've heard some of that before. But, you know, sometimes when God's putting something together, you'll hear a little bit of what you've heard before. But when the package is all put together of information, it changes. It tends to open up a broader view of what's going on, a broader piece of the puzzle. And, in fact, it might reveal what a puzzle is all about, a puzzle thing you've been puzzled about. Yeah, we were talking last night about that, about, you know, a lot of people will not prophesy that the temple's being torn down like Jesus did because it's not very patriotic. Jesus is not patriotic. How can he be a committed Jew? How can he say he loves God and he's saying the temple's being torn down? He wasn't much of a patriot Jew. He was, but he wasn't in the sense that they were. And so when God gave him a word, he prophesied what God said, no matter how unpatriotic it looked like. And so that's what we're talking about. But, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Lisa tonight, God. We just bless her tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for covering her, God, and bringing her to a place of feeling and knowing she's covered and protected, God. That she's at each level we go to in God, like in the military, when you go from the military from being a private to be a sergeant at different levels, you have different levels of protection because you step into broader and bigger tactical warfare type situation, and each promotion comes with a certain amount of, you know, awareness of what you need to protect yourself from, how you protect yourself, you know, and you have to learn all those things. Protection is a big thing in the kingdom of God because some people they don't walk in God's protection because, you know, that's just like when God told Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." Well, the cursing wasn't because, you know, people disagreed with Abraham and didn't like Abraham. It's when something about what they were doing was counteracting God's will for his life. That's cursing somebody. It's when you try to undermine or counteract or whatever. And so that's your protection. So it was God was saying, I'm going to bless you who bless you, and I'm going to protect you from those who curse you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Not curse those who disagree with you, not curse those who don't like you, curse those who curse you. Yeah, or to undermine the will of God in your life somehow, when they do things, even unwillingly, even not even really knowing what they're doing. He will protect you anyway. It's like he did Abraham with Sarah. Yeah, so God's shown you the protection realm, and when you enter into from level to level of God's, of you know, like I said, being going from a private to, you know, I don't know, lieutenant, colonel to, you know, a general, you know, there's different levels of awareness that you become aware of things at the level of a lieutenant, colonel. And then there's a whole other broader level of things you learn about how to be protected at being a general and what all you have responsibility for. And God gives you more responsibilities. He gives you more area to cover, so to speak, if you will. And so God's really showing you about protection and about how that each level that he takes you to when you graduate comes with a broader, more responsibility, but God doesn't give you something that he doesn't protect you for. And so I see you really entering into a place where you feel safe and protected because you know that God will bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me. So if somebody's trying to actually do you bad, not just disagree or not like you, but actually do you bad and harm you, that is your protection realm. That is your protection realm. So if people don't learn the protection realm of God, they walk around, you know, subconsciously even in fear. Like, oh, it's the devil. Am I stepping in the wrong territory? Am I going the wrong place? Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I in a territory that I don't belong in? You know, when you're in the military, I've never been in the military. I'm just, you know, what I know. You learn areas that you're not supposed to go. You're not supposed to go so many miles into Iraq. You go 15 miles. You go 16 miles in Iraq. You go past 15 miles into Iraq, you could be bombed. You go 15 miles, you're fine. You go 16 miles, they're going to kill you, you know, because you're not protected. So with 15-mile protection, you go 16 miles, you're dead. So you learn how to not go beyond that. And then, so God's showing you, you know, the boundaries and the borders that God has given us in order for us to be protected and kept. And it's really huge and really important to learn that so that you feel safe and go to bed every night going, yeah, I'm safe, I'm protected. I didn't go 16 miles. I only went 15 miles. I went exactly, you know, where I was supposed to go. And therefore, I am protected. Amen. All right. Protection's big. All right. 202-72, who am I talking to real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
How did the puppy thing go? Did it go okay?
The first half went great, as we discussed in as you suggested, I took it there in the morning, and they received the puppy. It was like kind of a little bit of an awkward conversation, but it was it was good though.
Well,
they received the puppy. We talked like 5 minutes, and I haven't received a refund yet, but I'm believing for that part to come after they resell the dog.
Okay, so they resell the dog. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad. Okay. I just wanted to check on that. All right.
Thank you.
We were praying about that. All right. You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. She had a dog situation and going on there with the puppy, and it wasn't a fit. So it wasn't a fit for her. So thank you, Jesus, for letting this thing that with the puppy dog be a new training thing that you do with her, God, for showing her when things don't fit, when they're not made for your schedule or made for your life, or they're not, you know, like the puppy wasn't trained at all, and she was going to like have to baby the puppy, like baby the puppy all day long. And when you're a single person, that's really difficult to do. So it just wasn't a fit. And God's going to use this thing, Nicole, to really teach you some wonderful things and show you some wonderful things about that and open up your life to, you know, what fits. And when God, so it's like you're going to be able to use that example, the way that felt and the way that hit you, as whether this is a fit or not, whether this fits with me, whether this, you know, the will of God for me, you might say. And so God's really going to use this to make you really sensitive to that realm of, does this fit or does it not fit? And next time, you know, you're going to walk into there and you're going to say, you know, no, I'm not going to sign a contract because I can already tell this doesn't fit me. And so each level we learn things and we grow from those things. And I see God really showing you, you know, even with people, what fits with them. You know, like you can see sometimes with some couples when they're talking about getting married, saying, well, they really don't seem to fit together to me. You know, it's like I feel this unfitting thing going on, like I had with that puppy. Like it just didn't fit with it. So the whole fitting realm, that whole thing, and opening it up to her, God, in such a beautiful way, and teaching her and training her, showing her how things need to fit, how things need to work. And when they don't, the excruciating, you know, sometimes excruciating pain that it can cause a person when things don't fit together and don't work right. So thank you, Jesus, for anointing her for that, God, and for this thing being a new experience for her to walk with Jesus and to be sensitive to what fits and what doesn't in Jesus' name, and to be able to save her time and trouble and struggle. Each time we get a little bit better at timing, but we don't spend quite as much time, you know, with something that doesn't fit, because we learn from one thing, and pretty soon, you know, we got it down good, and right away we're very sensitive and very aware of, you know, I just don't feel this thing just doesn't work. This is not, no, huh? So thank you, Jesus, for that, for making her aware of that, God, and to pour your love into her heart, God, and your security and her, in your beauty into her, God, about what fits and what works and what's right. And amen, in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah. All right, and get her money back, Jesus. They can sell that dog to get that money back for her, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, okay, let's go here and see what we got going on here. Okay, awesome. All right, 912-398, who am I talking to, where you from, please? All right, 912-318-398. Okay, air code 912. Looking up here. I think this Angela Joy. Let's see what's going on.
Hello?
Yes, who am I talking to you from, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Paulette, oh, hi, Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Amen. It wasn't Angela Joy. All right. I wasn't sure either. Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the convening, the things that are convening. What is convening here? I'm looking for convening here. Meaning of convening. Meaning of convening, almost right. Convening. Come or bring together for a meeting or activity. Assemble. He had convened a recent meeting of military personnel. What is convening? I wonder if you have something going on with convening. Convening, like coming together. Coming together. Assemble, gather, open, summon. Muster, sit, unite. So, God, I thank you, Lord, for and Paulette, God, to bring the things together that she needs, to bring the people together, to bring have meetings, whatever the kind of thing they need to have, with one or two or three people, to join together and to come together and come to agreement and be able to move forward, Father, in Jesus' name, things that they can, you know, join in on, and become unified over, and in Jesus' name, cause those things that they're trying to, that she's trying to, you know, get worked out, and I just speak unity and confirming, and the convening, I'm just going to speak the word that I'm getting, convening, the gathering together, in Jesus' name. Let it come together in Jesus' name. I declare and decree unity and the specificity. I can't even say it, but I don't want to. The specificness, God, for specific things that need to be taken care of and point and get things and take care of the things in the order that they need to be taken care of, God. In Jesus' name, open that up for Paulette, God, and let her see that the heart you've given her, Father, to get things done correctly and to for people to be cordial and think about others more than themselves, but know that the things that God has for them, what belongs to you belongs to you, Paulette, and God's not going to let anybody else take what belongs to you. In fact, I see some things coming to you. They're going to surprise you. They're going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, in Jesus' name, and give her a favor. And in Jesus' name, hallelujah, the coming together, the gathering together, the people gather together and come and be a part and unify. And in Jesus' name, to prosper her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, 803-991, where are you from, please?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hi, Angela. All right, Angela, good to have you. All right, Angela, good to be with you. I thank you, Lord, for the sentence. You know, like when the judge brings a sentence about something and, you know, he says, you know, this is it. I sentenced the enemy to, like Jesus sentenced the enemy to defeat for the rest of his life kind of a thing. And I thank you, Jesus, for the sentencing of the things that need to be sent. Like when a judge makes a final sentence and says, a final judgment or whatever, I thank you, Lord, that for those things in Angela's life, God, to be done, to be the sentences, to be sentenced. You know, the judge making, let me get that word here in a second. Okay, let me see if I get it right. Thank you, Jesus. To declare the punishment decided for an offender, 10 Army officers were sentenced to death. Yeah, there's some kind of a sentence being brought down on the enemy and on some situations. And what does a sentence mean? Let's just read exactly what it says here. To decide or say officially what a punishment will be. He was sentenced to the imprisonment, to life imprisonment. Yeah. So there's a sentencing going on. And so, you know, even though Christ has already paid the price and the sentence has been, you know, the devil is defeated, it's like I see God showing you how to activate the sentencing of God's judgment on Satan and on his things and on the thief and the robber and showing you how to stand in the realm like a judge in a sense and knowing that really the judge has already made the sentencing and showing you how to procure that, how to apply that sentencing into your everyday life to where, you know, Satan cannot keep on just like a harassment thing where somebody has to have a, what do you call it? Where they can't come near your property for like, you know, 3 miles or something like that, what do you call that? So that's kind of like a protection thing. So I thank you, Jesus, for that in her life, God, and showing her how to work the sentencing power of God Almighty. Amen. And the verdicts that God has already put on the enemy and the things that he does. In Jesus' name, teach her how to walk in that authority, in that place. Show her how to sentence, you know, literally bring that sentence in, like when the judge finally shows up in the courtroom and says, you are sentenced to whatever, and or you're free, you know, and being able to, apply that to your everyday life and to things all around you in Jesus' name. Well, that's like, sound like a thing of authority to me. That God's really trying to apply that and show you your realm of authority. How to use the realm of authority that he's given you. All right, 478-233, you want to talk to me right from, please?
Hello, this is Janice from Georgia.
Oh, hi, Janice. All right, Janice, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Janice tonight. Father, we thank you for Janice. for the power of persuasion, God, that you will show her the power of persuasion that she has with you, just like Abraham had a power of persuasion with God. God was going in to destroy a city, and he said, Abraham jumped in, and he said, the power of persuasion, you know, intercession. Okay, God, you know, I know if there's 50 there, okay, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 10, you know, he was the power of persuasion with God, and God's going to show you the power of persuasion that you have with him so that you can walk in that, so you can know you have it, so you can know that God's listening to you when you're in that dealing realm with God, like, you know, okay, you know. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up for her in the name of the Lord and letting her walk in that place, dear Jesus. Amen. Let her see that it's real and that she has the power of that because of her heart, because of her calling, because of who she is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 863-268. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, it's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nick. Nikki and Charles from Florida. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki. God, we thank you, Nikki, for Nikki. God, we thank you for her feet. I keep seeing this thing about your feet. I know I've talked about this already before, but like the Lord's plan, he's like preparing you in your walk. Your walk is being activated. Your walk in the spirit. Your walk, you know, like a new level in the spirit. Like I saw your new shoes not long ago. I keep seeing you know your feet. Like there's something going on with your feet. And God is doing something with your feet to cause your feet to be able, because your feet is what take you, your feet is where you step into something. Your feet is what you walk out things with, walk out your victory. You walk out, you learn how to walk in victory. Learn how to walk in, wherever the soles of your feet tread, shall be yours. But learning how to do the feet thing, the beauty of God of those who bring good news, you know, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And God doing this thing with feet, showing you the authority of feet, walking, how to pray in the spirit, how to tread where angels fear, you know, tread in places where angels fear to tread, because you learn how to tread in the spirit. You learn to not go places God doesn't say go, but eventually sometimes he says, you know, you couldn't go there. Now I'm going to allow you to go there, you know, because you're doing something with your walk, where you tread at and how you tread and what you tread on. We tread on serpents, we tread on sickness and disease, we tread on things. God's showing you how the treading realm of authority that he's giving you in your life, awakening you to that in a whole new way. Amen. And then over Charles, God, we thank you for Charles, God. We thank you for the discovery of his love, of the love that God has given him. When God gives you a love, he gives you a love for a certain, you know, a certain kind of people, a certain kind of thing. God gives you a love for, you know, like some people have a love for animals. You know, is that a bad thing? No. God wants us to love all of his stuff. It's when we love those things more than we love God. That's when it's not good. So he puts order to our love. You know, like I said to somebody earlier, love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. There's an order to our love. And God is setting your love order in order. Your love in order. Yeah. So, you know, you can always like test yourself out, you know, do I have my love realm in order? Am I loving ministry more than I love God? You know, we can always slip off into things. It's so easy to do. And it's not a go to hell thing. It's if you do it, it's like, you know, it's correction, because if your love realm is not in order with God, then you don't get God's love flowing through you regularly to give it to other people. And you run out of love. When you run out of love, it's not because God's out of love. It's because we get our love thing out of order. And God's showing you how to do that. All right, 903-808. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Jeannie in Texas.
All right, Jeannie, my friend Jeannie in Texas. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, God, for that realm of communication, Father, that, like, I see you, you know, like in the realm of communicating with God with the angelic powers, the angelic authority, you know, like speaking like your realm of authority, what goes in your voice and the authority in your voice and the communication realm in your voice, like singing is a realm of communication with God. And there's different levels of singing. There's different kinds of singing that communicate things. Music, as you know, because you love music, you have a music anointing on you. And just like David communicated with his instrument. The Bible even says that instruments prophesy. As you know, the scripture talks about that they prophesied, you know, without saying a word. The instrument prophesied as they played it. You know, I always tell people that they weren't playing the instrument. God was playing them, and they were playing the instrument. It's like the different levels of communication God's bringing you into to be able to communicate in many different ways. Sometimes it's not music that does it. Sometimes it's something. Maybe it's music and something else. Sometimes like music and prophesying. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, Jeannie, I just got that. So, thank you. Oh, there you go. Okay, thank you. Just like I just said, when David prophets are moved by music and certain kinds of music, the way it's done and that kind of thing, and that's all communication, and God's showing you how the spirit of communication in the prophetic realm is activated with you through music. And certain kinds of music open you up and activate different levels of your communication skill with the spirit and who you communicate with. Communicating with angels, you're communicating with sending the word, you're communicating with laying hands on people, you're communicating with preaching the word, talking the word on Blog Talk or whatever you're doing, and different levels of communication. And I just saw you, maybe I'm sure you already do this, but listening to certain music or playing certain music stirs up the prophetic inside you. Yeah, stirs up the word of the Lord, stirs up the activation of communication with God, and showing you all the different ways that activate the voice of God in you, the communication of God, and what thing communicates how. You know, like certain things communicate with angels, certain things communicate with sending the word, you know, that kind of thing. So, and in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and how to break barriers. Some communication is made, some voice vibrations and communications things in music are made to penetrate walls, that only music can penetrate certain walls. That's why God had Jericho, when they walked around, didn't say anything. But at the last, when God finally said, that's it, and then they blew the trumpets, the band struck up, you know, the vibrations, the sent a message in the heavens or however it did it, and it activated an earthquake or something, and it opened up, and the walls just came tumbling down. That was all done through that. Let's see what that, let me get that. Hang on a second. Walls of Jericho fell. Okay. After Israelites marched around the city walls once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, then blew their trumpets. Yeah, then they blew their trumpets. And when they blew the trumpets, that's in Joshua 5:13 and 6, chapter 6 through 6, verse 27, it talks about that. And so, so I don't know what that's about, but you know, sometimes penetrating message or penetrating power, like the trumpet thing, there's a reason why God said blow trumpet. He could have just had everybody shout, right? No, he wanted trumpets which have a certain sound, send a certain message. Like the scripture even talks about if a person who warns the community doesn't blow, you know, doesn't make the sound clear, the people don't know what to do, right? Why? Because it sends a certain message. And the messenger realm with you, God opening up the messenger realm with you. Yeah, in all the different ways that it functions and flows through you. All right, 847-505, who am I talking to very quickly? Hello. All right, 847. All right, Marja. It's Marja. All right, thank you, Lord, for Marja tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for distinguishing between things, for being able to distinguish between things, between good intentions and bad intentions, but be able to distinguish between people who really don't know what they're doing, who really want to know what they're doing, but they just don't know what they're doing. Some people, we think people don't know what they're doing. They don't really want to know what they're doing, but some people want to know. to be able to the distinction, to be able to distinguish between, you know, right and wrong, and things that are of God and things that are not, and things that are, you know, to be able to distinguish. Let me get that word out to you. I'm getting all these words. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Okay. Hang on a second, Mark. There it is, distinguish. All right, to distinguish. All right, recognize or treat someone or something as different. The child is perfectly capable of distinguishing reality from fantasy. Yeah. Okay, to perceive or point out a difference. These are able to distinguish between red, black, and various grays. Okay. To manage to discern something barely perceptible. Yeah. Manage to discern something that's barely perceptible. So in other words, God's trying to say to you that your discernment level and your able to distinguish things in the spirit, is sometimes things are just not really perceptible to most people, but God is saying to you, He's opening you up more and more and more to be able to distinguish things, to be able to perceive things that most people just, you know, in the natural realm just don't perceive it. And God's showing you that sometimes you're getting that going on and you don't understand what's going on. And God's trying to make it more clear to you, that you are perceiving from God. And He wants you to show you how to translate that and interpret it. Interpretation is, it feels like somebody's doing something wrong, but they may not be doing it wrong on purpose. They may be doing it wrong because they don't know how to do it. Some people do things wrong on purpose just to do something wrong. You know, there's a difference. So learning how to distinguish, you know, all that. All right, to perceive a difference in and mentally separate things out. Yeah. So God's giving you that ability to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Open her up, that God, and fill her with the Holy Ghost, God. Give her an understanding of what's important to you, to distinguish what's important to you at the moment. Sometimes we concern ourselves with things that aren't important for now. They're important, but they're not important for now. And God helping you put in order the things that are important for now so you get things done in order in the level of what's important to God for the season. For the time. In other words, he says, that's going to be a big job, but that's down the road. I want you to focus on these two or three little things over here that don't seem like that important, but we got to get that done before we can move on to that and help you distinguish what to take care of and what to let go, what to wait on, and that kind of thing. And thank you, Lord, for her ability to perceive that in a deeper level, perceive things from God. All right, 915-539.
Sheila from Texas.
Oh, hi, Sheila. Okay. Sheila, nice to have you. Sheila, 915. Thank you, Sheila. And thank you, Jesus, for Sheila. Father, I thank you for all the information you're giving to Sheila, God, to the information you give her, that when she picks up things intellectually, when she picks up things in her spirit, when she picks up things that sometimes we pick up things, Sheila, that we don't even know we're picking up because our spirit man is so not a part of our conscious life. Our spirit man is the mystery. It's a mystery part of us. Our spirit man is a part of us that's seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I guarantee you, if we were aware of everything that goes on in heavenly places, we would be a lot more spiritual. Me, mainly me, yeah, for sure. So God is showing you sometimes that your spirit man is picking up stuff, and to learn to trust your understanding when your mind starts to thinking, what am I losing my mind? What is this stuff? And God's showing you how to be able to, when your spirit man is telling you things that are mysterious and, you know, you can't figure it with your head, you can't figure it with your mind. Some things you just can't figure out. And God's showing you how to not try to figure it out, but just go, okay, God, you can test it. You can test and go, okay, God, I'm going to test this. I'm learning how to flow with things with my spirit. My spirit man is a mysterious kind of a quiet realm. I don't really hear it audibly. but it's always communicating to me. My spirit man is always communicating to me by the Holy Spirit. Show me how to know what's communication from the Holy Spirit and through my spirit and what's just me. And God giving you the ability, you know, he's training you in that because he wants to use you in that ability to, because the spirit man hears things from God that are really just sometimes unbelievable. They're amazing. They're out of this world, so to speak. And sometimes it sounds like, oh, that doesn't make any sense, so I'm not, you know, I can't go there. So God's going to show you how to not have to make sense out of everything, and yet to, when God tells you to do something, you start believing it, and you start seeing it as a God thing, so that you don't miss out on what God's saying. Because sometimes our spirit man will pick up what God's doing, and then we'll try to figure it out. Nah, that can't be God. You know, that can't be God. And yet it will be God. And God is doing it, and God is saying something, and really showing you how to walk in that. And that's really something that takes focus. That's why prayer is important. That's why, you know, seeking God, and, you know, if he tells you to fast a meal or something once in a while, sometimes all that is to get you to be more sensitive to him. But fasting, you know, like missing just even one meal or something, or not eating sweets for a few days or whatever, something like that. Fasting of some sort, it's the humbling of the soul. The humbling of the soul means, well, the purpose of humbling the soul is so that you can, your soul will not just try to figure anything out, but it becomes humble. The more we live in our own strength and our own ability to figure out things, the less we walk with God, because you can't figure out everything with God. Sometimes God just says, do something, it doesn't even make any sense. The widow was there for that. Prophet said, you know, she was fixing to eat, her and her son were fixing to eat their last meal and die. And he said, the prophet says, give me the first one. He was trying to get her to give to God first. Well, that didn't make any sense because we're all, you know, the family's everywhere, we're all about to die, and you want me to give you the first one for my son? This is for my child. I can't do that. Well, she didn't try to figure it out. She heard from God and she said, okay, here's the first. And she gave the prophet the first biscuit. And because she did that in obedience to God, which did not make any sense at all, God brought her through the really, really deep famine, and she lived, and her family lived. And so anyway, God's really wanting to open you up to that, to a new level, to where, you know, when God's speaking to you about something, then you're going to not wrestle with it as much. You know, we all wrestle with it. If we didn't wrestle with it, we'd all be walking with the Holy Ghost and walking on water. So we all do it to a certain degree. The less we learn, the less we listen to ourselves and trying to figure out everything, and the more we listen to what God says, and then we test it and prove it and see that it really is right, that it really is God, and God gives us the right to test it and prove it, then the more we start going, okay, I'm going to start listening to God more. And you start learning how, when he speaks, how it may not make sense. Give you half my biscuit, you know, and my son and I are going to eat it and die maybe tomorrow. You want me to give you half of it? That makes no sense at all. But it was God provoking her to trust him, and she did it against all of her instincts, and therefore she was blessed because of it. So that kind of a thing. Amen. All right. All right, 111, who am I talking to? Rick Fumpton?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl.
Oh, hey, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl from Florida, thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. We thank you, Lord, for... you know, I see you going from this thing of eating the crumbs, you know, like Jesus was amazed at the woman's faith, who said, yeah, Lord, but, you know, eat the crumbs for the master's, but the dogs eat the crumbs for the master's table. And you know, he was just shocked at her faith, as you know. He was like, well, what did she just say? I mean, yeah, it just like it excited him. It's like he kind of went, you know, and it wasn't anything about a dog word. It's not a dog word. It's a faith word. It's like, man, what you just said just thrilled me to no end. I mean, Jesus just was amazed at that woman's faith. And that's the kind of thing that God, that you walk in, that's the kind of thing that God has called you to, is to walk in that kind of faith that amazes God. That is like, wow, you know, that's really, really, you know, you really did. You really did. You really, okay, wow, that's amazing. And God being amazed at your faith. And you know, and says, sure, you know, and says, of course, the whole thing was my daughter, her daughter had a demon, and so, you know, and Jesus said, well, I'm not called to minister to the Gentiles yet. I'm called to minister to my own people first, then I'll come back and minister to you. And she just stopped him dead in his tracks, man. I mean, that girl stopped him dead in his tracks, and he went like, how can I resist that, right? That God's showing you how to walk in the realm of how can God resist not doing that, you know, like stirring him up. God's showing you how to stir him up, because I know you're a praiser, you like to sing worship, to stir him up. I mean, some things just stir him up. He's just like, yeah, how can I say no to that girl? I mean, no way, I can't, oh, yeah. You know, so thank you, Jesus, for opening that up and pouring that into her and reactivating that in her life, God, at a deeper level in a new place, in Jesus' name. And the things that stir you up, that she will have this infatuation with what stirs up the Lord. How can I stir up Jesus? How can I stir up the Lord? And just like that woman, and just like the other man who had, you know, the centurion, who had amazing faith too, and just totally, you know, amazed him with his faith. And God's showing you how to, the whole thing about stirring it up, the whole thing is about, she stirred it up by saying, yeah, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master table. And it's like, he just went ballistic over that. He absolutely loved it. And I just see you walking in that, God's showing you to walk in it. All right, 720-819, who am I talking to, right front, please?
Jeff and Yuki, Colorado.
All right, my brothers and sisters. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the personal thing. You know, you have this personal, Jeff, you've got this really personal thing that people recognize that there's something personable about you. And it's not that, I don't know how you are with people, because I don't really, you know, you come to the studio once before, you and Yuki did, got to meet you, and I could see how that could be, but it's like, there's that personable thing of you that people just go like, I really like this guy because, you know, it's just such a personable thing about you that it's not just a human thing. It's not a human gift only. It's a spiritual thing. And David had that. David had that thing where, you know, people just loved him because there was something personable about him that they're just like going, wow, I mean, this is, you know, he has a heart after God. And that's really what it was, because he had a heart after God. And God's shown you how to, you know, how to recognize that that's upon you, and be able to see that, you know, it's been given to you for a reason, for the kingdom of God, for the purposes of God. Because, you know, in the long haul, the business world and the government is not going to run the world, the church is. That's the ultimate goal. The kingdom of God message is that the church of Jesus Christ is going to run the world. Yeah, you're going to run the world. The government of God is going to be Jesus Christ, and he is a priest. He's a prophet. He's not just some businessman. He's not just some politician. He is a prophet, and he's going to rule the world, and it's going to be amazing. And so that whole thing of realizing that, you know, when people brought their gifts to Solomon, they realized that, you know, they were blessing a person who, you know, God had chosen, and you know, he was the seed of David. And when they came to David and they blessed David, they knew they were blessing a person who was, you know, who was a man of God. And, you know, one of the main things that David did was he got worship going on. He got worship going on out there in the tabernacle. He did away with all the stiff religious stuff, and he just put the tent up there and put, I think, the Ark of the Covenant up there, and he just let people just come in and just worship freely. There's this whole thing about worship, this whole thing about David in the heart of David, and that he understood that the whole world's going to be governed by preachers, by prophets, by kings who are priests and prophets. Not just business people who are politicians, but the world is not going to be governed by the government like a democracy. It's going to be governed by people like David and like, you know, men of God who are really prophets and servants of God. And so, and because David had such a heart for that, you could see it in his life, because he really was into the worship of God, and It's setting up a thing where people could come and worship God anytime they wanted to. You know, and that's, and you read it, that's what he did. He did away with all the difficult ritual stuff, and he just made it easy. People, come on, let's just worship. They had music going on, and just worship God. Yeah. And thank you, Jesus, for Yuki, God. I thank you for Yuki, God. I thank you for her part of that, that her nurturing spirit, that the spirit of her, the spirit of nurturing with her, God, to nurture things, to nurture people, to do the right thing. There's something about you, youth, that nurtures people to do the right, to think things through, to have compassion, to think about, to pity the poor, to pity those who don't have it, so to have compassion on them, so they can feel like they're important. There's something in you that wants to make people feel important, and that's a beautiful part of you that God has given you to. That's what Jesus did. Whenever Jesus was around, he made people feel important. There's something special about your life. There's something chosen about you. There's something God has called you. God has chosen you. Just find out what it is. It's there. And God using you as a nurturer, Yuki, to nurture people toward that so that they can, seek God first, get God's kingdom first. But I'll tell you something. The world is on the road to being ruled by a preacher. His name is Jesus Christ. And the church is going to dominate the world, not the government. We're not going to be under the government. Ask the government, can we have worship like on Sunday and Monday? Can we do this? Can we have a nonprofit exact exemption? No, we're going to be telling them what they're going to have and what they're not going to have. It's going to be the other way around. So we got to start thinking differently, kingdom-minded, because God says to prepare the way for the kingdom of God. How you do that? You start getting rid of this thing of the government dominating over us. Are you kidding me? Now, over the church, it's exactly backwards. God's government is going to rule the world. Yeah, and we're going to start with it now. Take that, put it in your taco and eat it, you guys. Your taco. I don't know why I said taco. But maybe they're sitting there eating tacos. Who knows? Healthy tacos, I'm sure. All right, 251-342. Can I talk to your friend, please? 251-342. All right, 251, are you there?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Hello,
how are you, Randy?
Good.
Hello.
Yes, who am I talking to here? Hello?
Hi, this is Latrice in Alabama.
Oh, hi, Latrice. I thought it's my friend Latrice. All right, Latrice, good to have you. I'm going to meet you there. Thank you, Jesus. And okay, thank you, Latrice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Latrice. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up to the realm of being able to open people up. You know, it's like a little child going up to her daddy, and her daddy's not having a very good day, and he's not much into getting her anything right now, but she goes up to him, gets in his lap, and just cuddles up, and all of a sudden, the daddy starts, like, changing his mode, and, you know, like, oh, hi, honey, what do you want? Daddy, can I have a popsicle? You know, and 5 minutes ago, he wouldn't have given her a popsicle because he wouldn't have moved for it, but then, you know, God showed her, you know, she had this thing of knowing how to unlock things from her father, and knew how to do it. Some people would have gone up and demanded a popsicle. I want a popsicle. I want it now. And the father's not having been a good man. Going, no, I'm going to get you in there. You're going to go to your room. You're going to be a good girl and get sassy with me. So there's ways that God's teaching you how to deal with things, how to open up doors, even from the father. Like we talk about Abraham a lot with that, but Abraham knew how to open up doors with the Father. You know, Jesus knew how to open up doors with the Father. You know, it's like he, prophets know how to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven, and unlock the heavens. And God's showing you your realm of authority to unlock the heavens and bring the will of God, bring the purposes of God. Cozy up to daddy. Daddy Jesus, Daddy God, Daddy Father God, and cozy up to him, and just like that woman I talked earlier with Cheryl from Florida about how that, Jesus wasn't in the mood to give her anything. I'm not going to give you anything. this bread, the bread belongs to the children. And she says, well, you know, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the mat. It's like that just totally, she just cozied up to Jesus. And Jesus goes, I give you anything you want. What do you want? Yeah. And God's showing you how your faith level to do that, how to unlock things from the Lord, how to, you know, get his attention and get him to look towards you, get him to favor you in a particular thing. Because sometimes, you know, I don't understand it all, but Jesus just wasn't, you know, I mean, that's a good example of how that he wasn't supposed to give her that miracle because he was bringing the miracles, the bread of miracles and healing and deliverance to his children, his own family heritage. And yet she changed his mind, and God's shown you how you can change the mind of God in a really wonderful, powerful way of doing that. Amen. To unlock things from heaven. Amen. So in Jesus' name, pour that into her, God. Open that up for her, God, and let her see that she has that ability. God, let that woman have, that beautiful woman. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 402-214, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Sharon, New York.
Well, hey, Sharon. Yeah, hi, Sharon. All right, good to have you, Sharon. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for sharing. God, we thank you, Lord, for the hope, for breathing hope in her, God, for breathing the spirit of hope, and all the things that are desecrated, the desecrated thing, desecration. What is desecration? Desecration. I know what it means, basically. Let's go here and look at desecration. Holy things. I don't know if I'm looking at it right. Desecration. Let me see if I can spell it differently. Desecration. Desecration. Okay, yeah, I think I got it right there. All right. Defiling holy things. Yeah. And God's shown you about that, how people defile the holy things of God. And, yeah, so, yeah, desecration. I knew it had something to do with that, but I was trying to look it up to get the definition of that. And, yeah, the desecration of holy things. And God's shown you about that and how that, you know, brings disgrace on the people and disgrace on a person, disgrace on people. And how that, especially religious people, you know, religious leaders, how they do that, and then the people, it comes down on the people too, and the people end up in that desecration moment. And how that God is opening you up to that, is showing you how that works and how to pray against it, how to pray for those leaders that they repent of that they get that right. Because it just defiles people. It destroys the things of God. It destroys beauty, and it destroys the power of miracles. It destroys the glory of God, the holy things of God. And God's showing you how to, you know, reverse that and to say and pray and ask God to do away with that and to, you know, extinguish that stuff and get rid of it out of our churches, out of maybe it's for the Catholic Church. Every church has some realm of leaders desecrating the holy things, I think. So we all can look at that, but God really showing you about that and how that affects, you know, the people of God, especially a religious organization like the Catholics or the Methodists or the Charismatics. Whatever. When you have leaders desecrating things and don't even know they're doing it, and they just think it's okay, then it brings shame and robs the church and the people of the glory of God so they can get touched and healed and get miracles and whatever they need and make things pure again and beautiful again and holy again and precious again and sacred again. The sacred things be sacred in Jesus' name. And God's showing us the things that are truly sacred, like selling merchandise in the gospel. I mean, to me, that's a desecration of holy things big time. And I think all religions do that to a certain degree, and it is definitely desecration of the holy things of God. So I don't know. There's something about that, a phase we're moving into it that God has turned that around. So I don't know. There you go. I guess pray about it. I'm not sure what that's about. 847-239. Who am I talking to, real quick, please?
It's Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. All right, good day, Stephanie. Stephanie, and the power to decide, choose you this day whom you serve, you know, and God's shown you the power of choice, that your choices, my choices, our choices always take us somewhere. Our choices take us somewhere. And if we don't want to go there, then we don't choose it. But sometimes the enemy blinds us. He's blinded me many times from choices I've made, not realizing that the choice I made was taking me somewhere that I didn't want to go. And I was going places I didn't want to go, and yet I was choosing to do it. And because I was blind and I didn't know that I went there, and then I learned from it and learned not to choose that again. Because the Bible says, choose you this day. In other words, I think every day we choose, Stephanie, I think we all choose to keep our focus on Jesus, or to feel sorry for ourselves, or, you know, not listen to what God says to us, but listen to what we say to us and what other people say to us, instead of, you know, doing what God says and learn to listen to Him. And so, yeah, that whole realm, that whole place that God's showing you how to, live, walk through that stuff and to learn from all the times and the seasons where we choose things that we shouldn't have chosen. But sometimes we just don't know, and sometimes we have to walk through something to see, you know, the depth of it. We don't see something as evil and terrible as it is because the devil makes it look so good, right? And then we step into it and we're going, oh, Lord, what did I do here? Oh, my God. You know, and so God's showing you how to, the choices you make, if you make a choice to step into something, you can also make a choice to step out of something, you know, and a choice to, so your choices are huge, are big, they're important. Stephanie, I think God wants to show you that more and more all the time, very specifically, that choose you this day. In other words, every day he's showing you how to choose the right direction, how to choose the right things. Even if you don't know what to do in particular, just to choose to say, Father, I'm not going to move until you move me. I'm not going to show me what to do. Show me if I need to step out and just take off walking, then I will. Abraham was told by the Father that he was going to go to a place he would show him. In other words, he didn't tell him where to go. He just said, okay, take off, Abraham, and as you go, I'm going to show you which way to go. And literally, he did not know where he was going, but God guided him. So it's a very beautiful thing. Amen, 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 in Jesus' name. All right. 480-799.
Hey, Randy, it's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. All right, my brother. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for breaking every level of fear. God taking you that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And God showing you how to understand all the different ways that the Lord is with you, so that when you step into something unknown, you know, you're going to know that, hey, you know, that I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's all about fearing evil. It's not about evil things happen, but when we, because evil things are going to come at you, but to fear them, that's when we get tripped up, right? I mean, so the whole fear thing, the whole dimension of fear, and learning how to not fear evil, what evil could do to you, because, I am with you, the Lord says. And so really recognizing and walking into that, the presence of God, and showing you how to acknowledge the presence of God and all the different ways the presence of God shows up. It's not always like the glory of God hits you and, you know, you're like, wow, out for a minute, you know. I mean, there's all these different ways that God shows up and shows you that he's with you. Sometimes I never feel a thing, you know. I think I get used to feeling the anointing that I don't, you know, unless it increases on me, I don't really, sometimes I forget that I'm walking in the anointing. And I don't, when I'm going through a hard time, it seems like the anointing's not there. It's like, oh, wow, I don't think I realize how good I was feeling from just everyday life and anointing, you know. And now it's like, seems to be gone in that. So God's showing you how to acknowledge it. Sometimes, you know, we don't even realize how much he is with us. And so asking God to show you, you know, God, show me that you're with me. And he knows that we need to know that, because we live in a world where there's evil going on everywhere all the time. Evil is very sneaky. It looks like something sweet and wonderful and great. It ends up being something really bad. So evil approaches us in so many different ways, and God's showing you how to recognize evil and yet not fearing evil. The big thing is that, yea, though I walk through the valley, shall this, I will fear no evil. It's not about having evil come at you. He was going to come at us all the time. But fearing it, that's the key to, because I am with you. And Lord, I thank you for prospering my brother and moving him into the prosperity realm, where you will prosper his finances, his pocketbook. And if you don't be afraid to talk about money, some people think if they talk about money too much, they're going to, it's because we're getting greedy or we talk too much about money. But no, sometimes there's a time to talk about money and there's a time to not talk about money. And when we talk about money, we don't be ashamed about talking about money because God provides things and we need not be ashamed of it. Well, the Bible says if you're ashamed of the gospel, let's see what it say. If I am ashamed of the gospel, the power of God, let's see what it say. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What's the gospel? Gospel is provision. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. There's a whole bunch of things that come to us. And if we're afraid to talk about it and say, you know, it doesn't mean we're worshiping it or putting it first. If we're afraid to talk about money and talk about wealth and talk about blessing, then we're you know, not acknowledging the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is not just salvation and getting people saved. It's everything. It's everything in the earth God has provided for us. It all belongs to us. If we're afraid to talk about it, because we think it might be, you know, so God's opening you up to the freedom of being able to, you know, think about money when you need to, think about it heavy, plan around it, ask God to show you how to feel about money, how to think about money, so that you don't degrade your level of blessing by, you know, I don't want to talk about that because that's talking about money. I'm talking about Jesus and the blood or something, you know, and know that that's a part of the gospel message is his provision. And not be ashamed of it or afraid of it because it's the power of God unto salvation. So the power to prosper you is there. If you're not ashamed of the gospel, what's the gospel? It's not just getting saved. It's also the prosperity of God, the blessing of God, the provision of God. If you're ashamed of that, if we're ashamed of that, afraid to talk about it because it might be, then the power to prosper is, you know, hindered. It's hindered. And God wants to open up the power so you're not afraid of money. People think that if I had a bunch of money, I might backslide or something. And so that's a fear. That's a fear of wealth. That's a fear of being blessed. And God's really going to deal with all of us about that. Get rid of the fear of that. Because it's the power of the gospel. If we're ashamed of it, fearful of it, then it's not the power to prosper us. It's not going to be there. Because the gospel prospers us and gets people, you know, saved, delivered, healed. The prophetic realm is powerful, the anointing, the worship, all of it. It's all important. All important. All right. Okay, I guess that's it for tonight, unless somebody else raises their hands. Prophesy to everybody that has their hand up. We have four people. Some of those people have already had their hand up. We have three people. I don't think I've ministered to three of them. Okay, hang on a second. Okay, there we go. 912-339. Uh-oh, they got dropped. 912 hung up on themselves, I guess. Wait for them to call back. If you want prayer tonight, or want ministry, or want to, you know, we're not talking much tonight. We're just prophesying over people. If you want that, then you might raise your hand. 831, you don't have your hand up. 478, you don't have your hand up. 608-960, you don't have your hand up. Okay. I'm going to give you a minute. If you guys don't get your hand up, I'm going to move. Okay, thank you. There you go. All right, 831 got their hand up for first. 831-596, can I talk to you right from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California. How are you?
Hey, good, Noelle. All right. Let's pray for Noel tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Noel. Thank you, Lord, for a true success, God. And I see you prophesying or speaking success. Speak success in the world. Okay, here's the first thing that came to my mind, actually. and it may have to do with the situations with your family members. your sister maybe in specific, because I just saw the thing that went on with Job and his friends who gave him information, decided that he had done something wrong, and he just needed to admit it, you know. Yeah. And so he didn't. Job hadn't done anything wrong to admit, you know, not what they were talking about, but the whole situation came in with Job because, you know, God was saying, hey, man, I'm really proud of Job. Satan, you can do whatever you want to him except kill him. And I know he's going to praise me. And sure enough, he did. But then right at the place where God was getting ready to double him, and this is what I saw you doing with your kinfolk, is God said, bless and pray for your friends who have mistreated you, who have done these condemning fashion of, you know, speaking to you and thinking that they know what's best for you. They know best because they know that you had to have messed something up, Job, to have this stuff going on. And Job was like going, no, I've tested myself. I haven't done any of that stuff. And he was right. He didn't. And so it came to that point to where where God says, okay, now you're ready to enter into the blessing of the double. And so he had him pray and bless his friends. And so I saw you doing that. And I saw you actually prophesying and speaking prosperity over them, which is what I opened my mouth up to say. And then I realized what that was for. Well, that's unusual. It's one thing to bless people who think they know best for us. It's a whole other thing to pray prosperity, like somehow this is going to be a key for unlocking things for you, is praying prosperity. Like as soon as Job started praying for his friends who, you know, decided that they knew best for him, you know, God knew that was important. So when he started praying for him, then God opened up double for him. In other words, he opened up blessings for him. It had nothing to do with them. So I see God, I see you doing it. It's like I wanted to say to you, prophesy over them, prosperity. That's why I saw you prospering, prophesying, or speaking the word of the Lord, or speaking things over them, prosperity. In other words, you know, the things they're holding back from you, ask God to bless them with more of it, the prosperity and blessing, and break that chain of event. That's the word I'm getting, is chain of event. Like, have a chain of events that happened to us. I saw that like as a chain of event. Like that event, the chain of that is, this is what's going to break its power in Jesus' name. And I don't know whether they're going to, you know, give you that or not, but either way, Job was blessed double, and that was a thing. So that's kind of like the next phase. And you may be already doing that. I really don't know what you're doing or not, but that's what I saw instantly in the spirit. As soon as I got you on, I instantly saw I saw you prophesying over some people, and I couldn't figure who they were, that for prosperity or something. So you know what? I started to say to you, you're going to prosper. You're going to prophesy prosperity over some people. And then I realized, then I saw the thing with Job. Instantly, I saw the thing with Job, speaking over his friends. I don't know if he prophesied prosperity over him, but he probably did. You know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know what he prayed over. Maybe it's in there. I have to look it up. But so I saw that, and the Lord said, breaking the chain, not the chains, not chans, but chan of event, the chain of event, not even of events, but the chain of event. In other words, that particular event, breaking the chain of event. Kind of unusual. But hallelujah. Wow. Interesting. Very, very interesting. The chain of events, whatever that means. I don't know exactly, except it's really got to be cool. The chain of event. And breaking the chain of event. There you go. That's basically it. Wow. Awesome. All right. 478-231. Who I talk to you very quickly, please?
Shakita from Georgia.
Shakita?
Shakita, from Georgia.
Shakita. Hi, Shakita. Thank you. Nice to have you. All right, Shakita from Georgia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I see something going on with you and the Holy Spirit. God, you know, opening up the realms of the Holy Spirit to you. and showing you the realms of the Holy Spirit. Like when Satan tempted Jesus, he said, he opened up his eyes. He said, you see all these kingdoms? They're mine. And Jesus saw them. He saw the realms of the kingdoms of this earth that Satan had rulership over. And he told Jesus, these are yours if you bow down and worship me. So what I saw you doing was like seeing the levels of the Holy Spirit, like the kingdoms, so to speak. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Seeing the levels of the kingdom of the Holy Spirit, of the power of the Holy Spirit, of the different levels of the Holy Spirit, or something like that. I don't know how to explain that, but I compared it to Satan, of Jesus' eyes, seeing literally the kingdoms. He took him up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the earth. He said, these are yours. And so I saw you being like taken up in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit and showing the different levels of the Holy Spirit or something, from kingdoms. I want to say the kingdoms of the Holy Spirit because I don't know if the Holy Spirit has kingdoms or not. I guess he rules over kingdoms, right? Something like that. I get information sometimes that doesn't make any sense to me, but that's what I saw. So thank you, Jesus, for Shakita, God, showing her how to enter in, go from glory to glory, and that it never ends. Her relationship with the Holy Spirit never ends, never stops. It's a continuation of growing. It's eternal. How can something eternal ever stop? It's like somebody said they saw heaven, they saw the angels. Every time they go around and get in front of the face of God, they see a new realm of his glory. And that's been going on for eternities, right? So it never ends. So God is saying to you, Shakita, that it never ends, and like God wants you to know that you can connect into that, to where it's from one glory to the next, amen, and that it never ends, it never stops, amen, yeah, and he's connecting you to that, he's trying to open you up to that in a new way. Cool, man. All right, 240-482, who I talked to you from, please.
Good evening, Randy. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Valerie. North Carolina, the girl from North Carolina, NC, Valerie from NC, NC, the NC, the NC girl, the NSYNC, like NSYNC, like NSYNC, like getting in sync with God. I know NC is not NSYNC, but that's just me. Sometimes I get information in really odd ways. Like God showing you how to get in sync with him, you're in sync with him at times. We all get in sync with God at times. Sometimes it's like we're really in sync with him. Other times it's like, okay, I'm not in sync with God. So I see you like God showing you how to stay in sync with him. But sometimes you'll be in sync with God and you won't know it because it won't feel like it. It won't look like it, but you are, right? Because sometimes the enemy blinds us from where we are with God. He keeps us from realizing where we're at with him. It makes us feel like we're lost and we're out in the middle of a wilderness somewhere when we're right in the middle of, you know, the glory of God in a way. And so God taking off the blinders off of you is showing you that, you know, how to be in sync with God. You know, many times you are in sync with God, but you just, God is a very everyday person. Sometimes he just kind of you know, every day when you have, let's say you had your Heavenly Father comes to the house every day. You know, at first it's like, oh my God, there's the Heavenly Father. Oh my God, the Heavenly Father. What can I do for you? You're going to stay with us? You're going to live here? Oh my God. And then after about, you know, a while, you're out going, yeah, the Heavenly Father, yeah, he's here. Uh-huh. And you get used to it. And it's like, you know, sometimes we forget that he's with us all the time and that I'm in sync with him even when I don't feel like it, because it becomes kind of everyday-ish. And that's what we want, is every day. Some people want the glory of God to come down and just blast them away every day. I don't think we can handle that. I don't think you could last long. I don't think we get a big dose, and then we learn to live with what God's given us. And so I see you getting adjusting to the fact that you're in sync more. You're in his presence more than you realize. And he's going to show you that, because the enemy torments us sometimes and messes with us and condemns us, telling us, yeah, you know, you ain't right with God today. You ain't got his mercies are not new today, because he forgot about you. And the devil lies to us, you know, and so he tries to. And that's one thing about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and don't fear no evil, because why, thou art with me. If we don't know that he's with us, all the different ways that he is with us. Sometimes we feel it, sometimes we don't, but he's still there. Like the Father, at first we're excited. We're not used to him living there, and then pretty soon after a few years, we get used to him living there, and it's like part of everybody's life comes to the door. We go, hi, Dad, hi, Father. Good to see you. But it's not like, oh, my God, there you are. Because you get it becomes everyday life, and that's the way God wants it. He wants to be everyday life, and it's everyday life. We live and we abide in him. It's everyday life. It's not just, oh, God, I need to. Maybe, you know, every once in a while, that's awesome to get a new thing going on, but it's like God's showing you how he's with you every day. So when you're going through valleys and circumstances, you know, you don't fear anything because he's with you. The devil tries to tell you that he's not with you like you're supposed to be, and that causes you to fear, you know, because it's a fear or walk in condemnation. And God's really going to show you and comfort you and show you that he's with you. Yeah, can it be more and more and more? Of course. But he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it's a promise from the Father. Amen. So acknowledging that, realizing that, and seeing that, that's going to bring great peace to you and comfort. And that way you don't ever have to fear because he's with you. Yeah, even if you don't realize it or feel it or sense it. Amen. All right. All right. Okay. Any more callers going to put their hand up tonight? Because I'm going to call it tonight if you don't. It's 11:20, kind of early tonight. Get off. But sometimes I go through and prophesy fast to people. It's amazing. And I don't do it on purpose. It just sometimes happens like that. She says oh my gosh, I called in for prayer because I reached. This is Noelle. I don't think Noelle minds sharing it, right, Noelle? Okay, thank you, Noelle. She says, oh my gosh, I called in for prayer because I received an email from the trust attorney. I'm slayed. Yes, I've been praying for them, but not specifically to prosper them. I'm slayed. Thank you, Randy. Now I know how to pray. I received an email today that the chain was continuing and wrong. Oh, God has given me the boldness to stand up and come against it. It's unjust. And even though praying for them, I'll switch it up and specifically pray for them to prosper. They have much more than me, and it's hurtful in what's happening, but I'm gladly pray they prosper and let God be God. Yeah, because I think the thing with that, Noel, is the fact that that it's breaking the chain of event. You know, that event tries to mess with us. That, you know, like it's a difficult thing, and God breaking that. Like I heard the word chain of event. Not chains of event, but chain of event. And so that was really unusual. Wow. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's an answer for you. That was an answer for Job. I mean, God said, you want to turn double. He didn't say, give $20 million to me, and I'll bless you double with it. You know. It was just the fact that he said, pray for them, bless them. And I don't know what he prayed for them, but who knows? He might have prayed for them to prosper. Job was a very prosperous person. So that would be a good way to pray for somebody to be blessed like you're blessed. If you want to be blessed or blessed. All right, y'all. I think that's it for me tonight. I think that's it. I think that's my last caller. Kind of leaving early tonight. But, hey, when you finish, you're finished, right? When you're done, you're done. What else can you do if you're done? When the Father's work was finished, he rested. All right. Okay. All right, everybody. I'm going to call it a night, I guess. And, yeah, thank you, Noah. It was a great night. It's been a great night. Thank you, Jesus, for all of it. All right. Awesome, everybody. Great night. It was a great night. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, everybody. You're not going to get your hand up, so I'm just going to permanently, for the night, that is, be gone. All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.